1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you to join the conversation or provide input on strobe lights.
Yes, sorry. Richard called to say he had tried those strobe lights under his RV and under his car, and it worked really well. However, he thought if you put it like inside of a building, it wouldn't work as well, you know, because you would need the light to be able to move around and distract and annoy. So that was his input.
Well, you have to put like velvet posters and black lights on the walls, too, to make it work.
But that's an idea. Like you said, it can't just be a one-trick pony. You got to try all kinds of stuff.
Walk into a rat party.
Yeah.
Nice. All right.
So the strobe light works for the one caller. And that was in response to a call we got from Tucson. Her shed was rat infested.
Well, and you know, one of the things people that have pack rat that live out Cave Creek, North Scottsdale, they leave their hoods of their cars up or put lights under their hoods if they're leaving the car for an extended period of time. So light, just having light, I think has some effect. It's not a dark, hidey hole place where they like to get in there and build a nest.
Okay, so a couple options there.
Typed in rat strobe light to Google, and I have options from $30 to $100 for different types of light. They call harmless rodent deterrents. So, well, there's one option. Let's get to David from Gilbert. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Go ahead with your question.
Question. So I have 6 new fruit trees. They're less than a year old. I've got 2 orange, a lemon, an apple, a peach, and a pomegranate. And I'm just wondering, should I not be fertilizing them until they're at least a year old, or what should my rotation be, or how often?
No, you should be fertilizing them. The old adage we used, you know, that way back, you know, don't fertilize for the first year. Type of thing is really, really passe. Most of these plants are getting fed on a very regular basis in the wholesale growing nursery. Then once they get to the retailer, at least at a nursery, you know, we fertilize, you know, every few months. So they're used to getting fertilized. You don't want to quit feeding them. So you want to, you know, even when you plant them, you probably want to use some type of starter fertilizer and then, you know, get on their regular program time of year feeding, which is right now, by the way, for almost all fruit trees, especially citrus. So I'd get on it.
And I've heard you say before there's 3 times a year for citrus. Was it Valentine's Day, Memorial Day, and Labor Day?
Man, you listened. Nice. You got it. And you know that timing is pretty good for just about anything in the landscape, quite honestly.
And for that, could you use the same citrus fertilizer for your apple, for your pomegranate?
Oh, absolutely. You know, there aren't enough apples and pomegranates grown in Phoenix, Arizona, to have an apple fertilizer. Obviously, there's tons of citrus, hence citrus food. But yeah, any fruit tree, producing fruit tree, would benefit. In fact, honestly, if I'm feeding my citrus and I bring citrus home, I feed the trees and shrubs and vines around the citrus with the citrus food. I mean, it's easier to do that and make sure they all get fertilized at one time than to try and have 3 different kinds of food there. Now, if you got rose bushes or gardenias or things like that, you might want a little bit specialized fertilizer for those. But for my elm tree and my, you know, other large shade type trees, I use the citrus food, or vice versa, frankly.
Interesting question on text here. I've never thought about planting something to deter mosquitoes. I know you could put rabbits don't like radishes. If you use that around your perimeter garden, it can help deter it. But is there anything
mosquito repellent wise?
Mosquito repellent.
Well, citronella. If you've seen citronella candles, mm-hmm, and oil, there is a plant that's a geranium that will do well here in containers around the patio. Lavender, I think, works reasonably well. Rosemary. There's a number of things that you could try. Some of the mints will also work. So, you know, if nothing else, you'll smell good. You know, just kind of walk around and pinch little pieces of those off. But citronella is the most popular, I think, one. Yeah.
So you can get it in more than just a candle form.
Yes, sir.
All right. Next on the line is James in Tonopah. Welcome to the conversation, sir.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
The trouble we're having is last year we planted 12 trees, apple, plum, and pear. Lost all of them due to ground squirrels. They don't touch the pomegranates. But this year we're trying to put in some citrus, and we're worried about, you know, what can we do to keep the ground squirrels from coming in eating the roots of the trees.
Well, you know, one thing you might try is putting some type, when you dig the hole, putting some type of barrier in, actually subsurface, lining the hole with a barrier type product. You know, where I grew up, way out in northeast Scottsdale, we had a lot of gophers, and we literally had to take, you know, gardens, you know, and line holes with chicken wire, and you know, the roots will still get through that, the moisture will still get through there, but it does kind of keep them from burrowing, you know, into the root area. But that's a tough one. I suppose you could try trapping, you know, live traps. Those little ground squirrels are pretty easy to catch in a little have a heart live type trap. Bait it with peanut butter or grains or things like that. Maybe you could just kind of continually be removing them from the area. That might be another thing to try.
Because we're a little more rural, we pay the kids 50 cents a piece if they can get them with the BB gun.
There you go. Maybe you need to up the bounty a little bit. Maybe it needs more like a buck. They'd get really after it.
Right.
I do think that bonide might be a good shot, too, James. Just you can get it at Summer Winds and different nurseries around town, but you just sprinkle it on the ground. It's a granular, and it's hot, peppery kind of a flavor to it, and it repels most critters. I've had them. It's chased off a lot of bunnies out of my
blood. Blood meal also works really well for rabbits and ground. Anything that's an animal of prey, of that's preyed upon, they're kind of leery about the smell of blood, and that also helps fertilize your plants. Any of those odor-driven things, just make sure that you got to continually replace them, because they have a pretty short lifespan.
You know, it's something that frustrates a lot of people, but if you go into an arid, dry desert, mm-hmm. and you introduce the smallest drop of water, everything from a mile around is going to find that.
Water, green growth, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You've got to be prepared for a little battle
on
your hands.
Create a candy store, yeah.
Ellie wrote in earlier this week and says, I've been away, just back in town, and wants to know if she can still prune her apricot tree, or is it too warm now?
Well, you know, I would maybe not prune it as severely as I might have a month ago. They are starting to, most fruit trees are blossoming and budding out. So you could be selective. If it really, really needs it, you know, maybe do a little bit here and there. Otherwise, might not hurt to let it go at this point.
What's your opinion on best practices for stone fruits and apples? I mean, unlike citrus, where you don't have to worry about thinning to get good mm-hmm. produce size, you have to thin apples. Do you thin the buds? Do you thin it by trimming? Or do you actually start picking the apples once they've set?
Well, I think it's a lot easier to just let them set the fruit and take off the fruit at a small age than to try and determine what's going to set for what flower is going to actually set the fruit, right? Because they don't all do that. So wait until you actually have fruit setting on there, then do your thinning. Of course, pruning will also help you have stronger branches and will help you, the branches carry more weight if they're pruned properly, so you don't have to thin maybe quite as severely so that branch won't break down or sag or break. But I always do the thinning after they've set.
Sharon writes in from the Picacho area, has orange bells that are 6 years old and didn't sustain any type of frost damage. Again, back to our pruning question. Is it too late to get started on those?
No, it's just barely time, because those you want to wait until the danger of frost or freezing is over. She's in Picacho. She's still maybe a few weeks away from, I might not be in too big a hurry there. probably a lot colder there than it is here. So wait until you're pretty sure it's not going to freeze again, and then, you know, prune them back by, you know, at least a third of the size of the plant, because they'll replace that much at least in one growing season.
And then one more interesting question before we get back to our phone lines. It came in on email at info@rosieonthehouse.com. John is in Tucson. Received mulch from the city of Tucson through their tree cycle program. So people in Tucson that had a Christmas tree, instead of just throwing it in the landfill or other means, you could donate it. The city mulches it. And he wants to know what the pine and tar and sap is that. Should I mix that with anything else, or can he just straight apply that as a ground mulch?
Well, if you're using it as a mulch, which is just throwing on top of the ground, no problem. If you're going to try and incorporate it in the soil as a soil preparation for your garden, you need to compost it first. And then, you know, it doesn't matter if you mix anything with it necessarily, but it definitely needs to be composted before you start tilling it into the ground. So as a mulch on top of the ground, mulching, no worries.
What do you use for mulch? Do you have a particular favorite recipe
I have
secret compost that you got underneath your elm tree in the back?
Well, I have so much leaf drop in my backyard between bamboos and citrus trees and evergreen elms that a flowering pear.
You let it naturally do its
thing. I just kind of pick it up and move it to play. If it doesn't have enough here, I take some and put it over there. So I don't rake up any leaves out of my beds and planter areas and take them away. I let that mulch the area. And if people would do that more, they'd have a lot healthier plants and wouldn't need to water as much.
Which is the first thing we do is we start raking up the leaves.
We remove all of the mulch, all of the insulative material down to bare ground or rock or whatever. And, you know, it causes the roots to be hotter, causes more sun to contact the soil. It also helps cut down on the weeds. We've talked a lot about weeds this show. If you've got a layer of mulch under things, you're going to have a lot less weeds.